We go down the highway. Dave Rowe joins us from Calgary. Davey, how are you?
Oh, excellent, man. Good to be with you.
John Cornish, I know concussions are really hard, but what are you hearing on Cornish? Is this going to be short term or long term?
It all depends. But I mean, this is already 2 weeks in, and he has yet to get past the first stage of the concussion protocol. Like, basically, he can't work out. You know, they always talk about, you know, riding the bike without getting a headache. But, you know, he hasn't cleared that stage yet. So that's got to still be a frustration. I mean, especially coming off the bye week when things were going to be completely shut down.
Yeah, Dave, and especially with the position that he plays. I mean, let alone getting vertical on the field where you're feeling good to work out, you're taking contact every time you're carrying the ball, obviously, and often when you're not. This is about as tough an injury as you can have for a guy like Cornish, isn't it?
Yeah, and John Cornish is a physical running back, too. You know, John Cornish is a guy who initiates contact. He's a very good blocking back, which is a really underappreciated aspect of his game. Like, you know, any good CFL running back will tell you, you can rush for 100 yards every game, and unless you're good at keeping your quarterback on his feet, you're still going to get cut. John Cornish is very good at that physical aspect of the game. So this has got to be really frustrating for him right now. Then on top of that, Nick Lewis, the friendly fire incident yesterday at practice, went down on a play, took an inadvertent knee to the helmet, and he's a little bit woozy, although his is clearly a lot milder because Nick was at practice as an observer today and talked to us afterwards. He's just been ruled out for this game, sort of more as a precaution than anything else.
Yeah, that's two big losses then if they're both out. So the replacement for John Cornish, who obviously has emerged, and you know what, there's definitely no Canadian that's going to replace him, so this changes the ratio for them. How big of a drop-off is it for the number two running back in Calgary?
I don't think it's going to be that big of a drop-off. Matt Walter is a guy that I followed through his whole career with the Calgary Dinos and on to the Calgary Stampeders. Matt is an explosive running back. I mean, you know, there's obviously no two running backs are going to be the same, but the one thing Matt does very well is if he can identify a seam, he can accelerate through the hole and, you know, create yardage where you really didn't think that there was a lot there. Jock Saunders, I mean, you know, we've got the book on him from when he was in Saskatchewan, and obviously not Corey Sheets, but a very capable backup to Corey Sheets. And, you know, so there's going to be a rotation. We don't know exactly how the workload is going to get, because oddly enough, John Huffnagel didn't tell us exactly how he's planning to use these running backs. But the one thing I did observe is, again, when you have to change import and non-import, refusing national and whatever the hell the other one is. But, you know, if you've got an import and a non-import, of course, that's going to have a ripple effect through your lineup. I've been noticing a couple of different looks on defense where they've got, you know, Ben D'Aguilar, the second-year Canadian defensive end, who looks like he might get some reps at end just as a ratio adjustment if you want to get Jock Saunders. So, again, this thing just works its way through the whole lineup. So, again, you know, you don't lose the league's most outstanding player without there being a drop-off. But I'm a big Matt Walter fan, have been since his college days, and I'm hoping that that he's capable of having an impact against Toronto.
Dave, still with Cornish, I haven't read all the background material on it. Is there a history of concussions with John?
No. I mean, this isn't this isn't a guy. I believe he had one earlier in his career, but that is a while back. So this isn't a player who sort of every time he gets a knock on the head, you're waiting. Oh boy, I wonder if he's going to get up. The one thing I remember with John is a couple of years ago, he had problems keeping his helmet on. Every time he got hit, it was blasting off his head, it seemed like, a couple of times a game. I asked the equipment manager, George Hopkins, about it, and he said that, you know, just basically George wasn't fitting his helmet right. Then the CFL brought in, very wisely, I thought, last season, what I called the John Cornish rule, where they said that, you know, if your helmet flies off, you immediately become a non-participant in the play, or you get penalized. Suddenly, John Cornish's helmet seems to fit a whole lot better.
Yeah, I guess. Dave Rowe joins us. Dave, quarterbacking situation in Calgary, obviously they got rid of Kevin Glenn. They went with two young guys. And Bo Levi Mitchell ends up being the victor in that. Do you think long-term he's better than Tate?
I do. I think that there's a lot of upside with Bo Levi Mitchell. I mean, ever since this guy got here, we've seen his arm strength. We know he can heave a football a long way down the field. So, you know, the joke with Bo Levi is like, okay, we know we can throw 60 yards. He needs to learn to throw 5. You know, I mean, that was the biggest thing he needed to learn was to think like a quarterback and not like a gunslinger. And in the off season, knowing that this opportunity was going to present itself, he went and worked at Jeff Garcia's football camp at his own expense. This was not a team initiated project. He says, "I need to get better as a quarterback." He cut the checks to go and work with Jeff Garcia, which apparently is not cheap. And, you know, when I asked him what he learned, you know, mechanics, anything physical like that, he says basically it was just watching Jeff Garcia, watching a guy that still competes at a very high level and, you know, has that intensity and that passion for the game. And that was what he learned, the most. When he arrived in training camp, again, knowing that this opportunity was there, you know, he immediately was carrying himself as more of a leader. Dave Dickinson told me, he says, okay, it's one thing to act like a leader, but, you know, he's got to prove that he can take over the huddle. And I think the players believe, you know, it's not a Tate versus Mitchell situation. These two guys get along quite well, but it's, you know, what's best for the team. Bo Levi Mitchell is best for the team, and I think this offense believes in Bo Levi Mitchell.
Dave, it's interesting that you frame it that way. It reminds me a little bit, and maybe I'm off here, but, you know, when Mike Riley was in BC waiting his turn, there were a lot of things that were very impressive about him, and as soon as you saw him come here and get the starting job, even though he was picking himself up off his backside far too often in his first year here,
yeah,
you could see this guy had a presence about him. That's got to translate to performance, I get that, but you talked about commanding the huddle. That's the kind of thing you're seeing from Mitchell. It sounds like much the same thing as we saw last year up here.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's early in a pretty small sample size, but Drew Willey really seems to want to be that kind of guy too in Winnipeg. You know, to come out from the shadow of of a great quarterback and prove that he can lead a football team. But I mean, this is also, you know, it's always been a confident bunch. It's always been a very tight team. And Bo Levi Mitchell with that, you know, I'd almost want to call it veteran presence, despite the fact that, you know, the guy only has a handful of starts under his belt. But I think he inspires a lot of confidence in the players around him. And one of the guys, one of the reporters brought it up today that he's never lost a game he started. Again, a pretty small sample size, but that's the kind of way you want to start your CFL career.
Dave Rowe joins us from Calgary. Dave, moving over to the Calgary Flames, you know, there's a lot of, and Edmonton fans know this, there's a lot of hype about the young guys coming in. Of course, they drafted Bennett. They've also got Goudreau coming out of college hockey. He was lighting it up, albeit as a smaller guy. You know, the Flames, you know, Giordano and Brody and Backlund were very good for them. After that, there's a big drop-off. Camilleri's not there. What's the realistic expectation when you look at that lineup right now today for the Calgary Flames?
I'm not about to say that the Calgary Flames are going to compete for a playoff spot this year. The feel-good story of the Calgary Flames this last season was as a bunch of hard-working guys who stayed in games, you know, sort of won their fair share of games. You know, didn't really shock anyone by winning a bunch of games that they weren't supposed to win. But they won the fan base of the team by showing up to work every night, and that wasn't something that you could really say a lot about teams in the last couple of years. I like the young core that the Flames are putting together, you know, starting with Sean Monahan. I mean, of course, Mark Giordano, you know, I think is an excellent leader. There's still going to be some big questions in goal. And as you say, there is a big talent drop-off. But certainly in the last couple of years, when you look at the drafting and the kind of players that they're bringing in, I mean, I think it started under Jay Feaster, but Brad Treliving did a good job drafting. You know, we had a look at Morgan Klimchuk during the prospects camp. It looks like he's made some progress after a tough year with some injuries and some other challenges in junior. Emile Poirier is coming off shoulder surgery. We got to look at him in the American Hockey League at the end of last year. There's a little bit of hope there. I mean, there's still some there's some mistakes in there. Mark Jankowski, who was a big project pick of Jay Feaster's a couple of years ago. I just don't think that this guy is going to be an NHL player. But I think what fans want to see is, you know, they don't necessarily need to see that great uptick in performance and challenging for a playoff spot. But they, you know, they want to see steady improvement. They want to see improvement in the depth in this organization. So far, so good. But it's still the early days in that.
Well, I can tell you, talking about improvement of depth in the organization doesn't mean improvement in the standings. Lots of guys will look great on paper. Doesn't necessarily mean it's great success on the ice.
You got to learn how to win, and unfortunately that's something that that hasn't happened with you guys up north. I hope it happens soon, because you know, man, there's too much talent on that team not to like. I worry about the Oilers, just sort of, you know, the young core of that team. All they've learned how to play is bad hockey, and they need something to break them out of that, and something to break them out of it quick.
Dave, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the CFL season. We'll do it again.
The more often, the better, man. You got me on speed dial.